Well, Henry, as you know, in the scriptures, and I've got some of it right here.
Yeah, I got that, yeah.
You know, there's a lot of reference to apostles, and there's been a lot of difference of understanding in the body of Christ about are there modern-day apostles.
Well, we Reformed people don't know if we go for this fivefold thing. Okay, let's just have it. Let's settle it tonight. I mean, here we go. You got your resident Reformed background, Christian Reformed background.
You push back on it. I'm just going to tell you what I see.
Okay, no, and I'm going to tell you where I'm at. Okay. I will go.
Okay, I see this 2 points. Okay, I see it in Scripture. And I meet these kind of apostolic leaders in the nations.
Yeah.
I meet them. And I've just come to the conclusion, this is not all inclusive, that there are at least 10 different types in the scriptures of apostolic leaders.
Okay.
You can use apostle, apostolic leader, whatever you want. Apostolic leader is a little softer. Okay,
let's reflect theologically a little bit in on apostle before we even
Go ahead.
Let's just have at it a little bit.
Yes.
Okay. I'll tell you where many of the traditions of the denominations come, including the Christian Reformed Church, including Reformed, Presbyterian, so forth. They look at apostle, and they say, well, there were the apostles, and the office of apostle ended when the apostles died.
You talking about the 12 or all the other apostles?
I'm saying in general, there's a large group of people, a large group of Christians who sort of push back, and I'm not saying I'm one of them, but I want to reflect on my journey a little bit to come to this. But there is a belief by some that apostolic authority was connected specifically to Scripture. So the canon, those who would write with apostle credibility were the eyewitnesses of Christ and his ministry, and when they passed away, the apostolic ministry passed away with them. Okay, so that's
I'm assuming that's coming from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Am I right about that? It says, where there's prophecies, they'll cease. Where there's tongues, they'll be stilled. Where there's knowledge, it will pass away.
No, that's that's one of the places. But where they go deeply into this is it's a theological assessment that reflected some of the early church writers around the time of the canon, where they would talk about the ending of that era, where certain books would be in the Bible, books that had apostolic authority. So how the Catholic Church developed, and then many churches, including many Protestant post-Reformational churches, they sort of, the world of the apostle was closed down.
I see.
Okay, so that's their argument.
Yeah.
Okay, so, and the key thing there is the apostle. Now, I consulted with Dr. Dave Fettes about this, so let's just talk about that a little bit. So I said, okay, I've been reading Larry Kreider's books here, and I've been asking myself, and I said, so Dave, Dr. Fettes, what do you make of all this? And I said, I would like to look at the work of the apostle as a gift. Reading these various books, and Dave said to me, the only thing you have to be careful of saying is that the apostles are always the apostles, and the being gifted as an apostle is, let's call it apostle with a little a, the apostles were a group of people in place and time that were called by God to write the New Testament scriptures and to start the church. But just because we say the apostles does not mean that we take the office of apostle and say it no longer exists. Yeah.
So when you say the apostles, are you talking about the 12? Are you talking about the 19, 20, 21?
The apostles that witnessed Jesus' resurrection.
Okay.
And so it was a set number.
I agree.
And that's how, how I've come on this. And
I agree.
Is to say, that there are many, in fact, there's some cases in the Bible when it does talk about the gifts, when it says some to be apostles, you don't get the narrative in there that they're trying to close it down.
That's correct. That is correct. And we both know that there's more than the 12. There are many more from,
Andrew Nicus and Judas are great among the apostles.
Exactly.
And it's really interesting. Apollos is an interesting example of an apostle because it said he was in Jesus and he was actually discipled by Priscilla.
Mm-hmm.
And here's a guy who is called an apostle, and evidence shows that he may have not met Jesus personally.
I know. I've got him on my list. I'm going to give you my list.
Okay.
All right.
Why don't we go for it? We talk a little theological reflection on this now.
And see, here's what I think happens. I think, I agree. There were 12, no question. There's the apostles. And I agree totally. No one ever takes their place. And if you want to add the others who lived during Jesus' time to that, I'm okay with that.
Right.
I'm simply saying today, I find those who have this gift.
Right.
And they think apostolically. They think about expansion. They think,
They
do what we see the apostles in the Bible do, even though they're in a whole different category. I understand that completely.
Right.
Now, I think one mistake we might make is that we think the only apostolic model is Paul.
Right.
Now, Paul is a major apostolic model. Yeah, Paul is Gentiles, church planter, churches.
Right? Okay, I tend to sort of go down the Paul.
Yeah.
There's no question he was the inspiration of Christian Leaders Institute.
Exactly.
The whole bivocational thing.
Got you.
The whole enterprise thing. So I am probably very open and needing to hear more apostle deals. So
let me just give you my take.
No, I love this. Okay. I love it.
Paul basically called to the Gentiles, not by his own choice. He wanted to be called to the Jews. We all know that.
And finally,
he was stoned so many times, he went to the Gentiles.
I gotcha, and felt
the call there.
Yeah.
And I don't get this because, you know, Paul trained under the Sanhedrin. I thought he'd be called the Jews.
Yeah.
But then you get number two, Peter, who I thought would be called the Gentiles.
Right.
And he is the apostle to the Jews. We all know that.
Yeah.
Okay. So the first of the Paul type apostle, we know what he's done. The Peter type apostle called to, obviously, the more religious system. I'm amazed that leaders I meet in the body of Christ who are called to their own denomination or religious system, who are called by God, just doing amazing work in those denominations. I call them Peter type apostles.
You know, I buy that because I have seen people who will. I know the pastor at the church I've attended here in Grand Haven, the beautiful saints.
Yes.
He's called to these believers.
Yes.
He tirelessly.
Right.
Is working to grow.
Yep.
It's powerful.
Yeah. So I think it's awesome. Yeah. Yeah. So. Peter. Number three, I have the Timothy type apostle. Now, Timothy, obviously, was more of a pastoral apostle.
Yeah.
He was in Paul's apostolic team.
Right.
You know, we know that. And there's people on the teams where I serve in leadership, and they have this gift. They are better pastors to pastors than I am.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Okay. And they do a great job with it. So when we raise up leaders all over the world, and apostolic teams and councils, as we call we have a key apostolic leader who's usually more of a Paul type apostle, thinking expansion and growth and church planning.
Yeah, yeah.
And then others who just love working with leaders, helping leaders, they serve on his team. That, to me, is a Timothy type apostle.
So in this case, they're actually specifically raising up and finding pastor types to equip them for more ministry.
They are apostolic leaders who are working with pastors, helping them be more apostolic.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. Right. Helping them fulfill their call.
So
they're spiritual fathers and mothers to pastors, elders, whatever you want to call them.
Gotcha. Okay. Very good.
The fourth category I have here.
Okay, I like this.
Okay, and I didn't get this out of anybody. I'm very pragmatic.
I didn't know that.
Is the Titus type apostle. We all know Paul sent him to Crete. He was what I would call a regional apostle.
Okay.
So he had a region of the world he's responsible for. He went there to set things in order, ordain elders in every church. We all know Titus 1:5. That's the Titus type apostle, my perspective.
So is that person sort of dealing with structure issues? Looking for who the leader is going to be.
Yes. But having a sense of responsibility for a region,
for
a state, for a province, for a nation.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
I've met people like that. Yeah. I just love our county.
Yes.
You know, and I am praying. I drive down the street of our county, and I pray for Meyer Road, and Meyer Road, and then I go to Miller Road, and I pray for Miller Road, and then I go down Butler Road and pray there.
You got it.
Yeah, these are okay.
Then you've got, I have now the James type apostle.
Okay.
I am convinced that many of America or other nations, mega churches, the leaders who lead those have this breadth of understanding and apostolic call.
Right.
And they, you know, my friend Samuel Smucker has pastored for 30-some years, almost 40 years, a church called Worship Center in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
They have touched over 100 nations. His heart is the nations. And yet he carries an authority in our area that's just amazing. He has an apostolic call. They call him Pastor Sam. I believe he's an apostle.
Right.
See? So I believe that not all, but some of our the leaders of larger works, even larger ministries, have this.
Like a megachurch could be a James type.
I think so. When they had the Jerusalem Council, they came back in Acts 15. Who stood up and gave the verdict? James. He was a respected leader in Jerusalem.
Right. James, you know, a lot of times you'll see that in denominations. They'll have their synods. And there are certain people who, there's no question, they're like the James Apostle. Now, in mainline churches, they would never call themselves apostles.
Oh, no, I know that.
But their function is to make decisions about international impact. They love that. They get together for that. They want to be elected for those synodical boards, those meetings, because they want to make an impact in there. So it's not just a local church. It's also a network of churches and denominations. In Methodism, you see that too, where you have like some of these bishops I've seen who so care about fitting the right person in that situation.
We talked about number six, the Apollos type apostle already. And Apollos, I would call a teaching apostle.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, he's called an apostle in Scripture. He served as an apostle, and yet he seemed to be a teacher. And, of course, Priscilla helped this, and Aquila, but especially Priscilla helped disciple him.
Right.
And then you have the Luke type apostle. Now, you know, Luke was a physician. I think he's kind of a marketplace apostle. This is controversial, if the people don't agree with it. But Luke, you know, praise God for Luke. We have the book of Luke, the book of Acts.
Right.
He was just there, and he was in Paul's
and he writes, who he writes to. He's taking the canon of Jesus' life in the Apostle Paul early church, and he's researching it thoroughly so that audience who does not know God would be able to know Christ in the wonderful things that happened in the resurrection.
Exactly. So anyway, I think I would call him more of a marketplace apostle. That's just my perspective. Then the Barnabas type apostle. Barnabas was the networker. I mean, when Saul and then later Paul was kind of at odds with all the apostles, he brought him in. He's the one who brought him down to Antioch. He was the networker, and I meet people like this in the body of Christ. They have a stature in the body of Christ. They cross denominational lines.
Yep.
They bring people together. Networking apostle, and we both know people like that.
Yep.
Then you have the Silas type apostle, and he was a real support to Paul. I mean, he was just Paul's right hand.
Yeah.
And a lot of the letters, the epistles written,
chief of staff apostle.
He was. He really
was.
Yeah. And so it's a different type of role. And the last one I have is the John type apostle. You know, the only way I can characterize John, I call him an apostle of love.
He's just
the apostle of love, you know. And there are people that I meet in the body of Christ like that. And they also build bridges. But they're just, you know, there's a stature that they have. There's a breadth of revelation that they have. And there's an authority that they carry from the Lord. And I don't know how else to characterize them or this John role, except say he's just an apostle of love who somehow he loves the body of Christ.
Yeah.
He loves the kingdom. He loves leaders, and he brings them together.
Well, I have a couple more reflections on John, because I never really put John as how you're defining apostle here. But actually, there is a great story of Polycarp in the early church. Okay, so here's a guy who Justin Martyr talks about him, the martyrdom of Polycarp. And Polycarp mentions that he's baptized by the Apostle John. So he's an old man. And he says at the end of his life, and Polycarp was a person who knew how to love. So the deposit of the Apostle of love comes in this person and strongly asking for forgiveness on the persecutors. Polycarp dies, and Justin Martyr talks about how this old man, like John was an old man, So it's like, you know, you ever have that, shake my hand. I shook the hand of the man who shook the hand of Teddy Roosevelt.
Yeah.
I met like an 80-year-old guy when I was a paper boy, and he told me that once.
Yeah.
You know, and you have that with you, John, that whole, like, the apocalypse, Revelations written, and he's caring about the longevity, the Lord gives him a vision of all that. So I never really thought of him as an apostle, but he truly was an apostle. Maybe he was the apostle of the martyrs, even though he was the only one not to martyr.
That could be.
Because all the other ones had untimely earlier deaths.
Yeah.
He lives on. And actually, he is the apostle to the martyrs.
Yeah.
Because Revelation is about don't give up.
That's true.
And,
you know,
so maybe that's a little nuance to add on him.
Yeah,
that's great. Because Justin Martyr talks about Polycarp's martyrdom. And so maybe he is also, like today, when we deal with, like, they're saying 70,000 people were killed for Christ. Mm. So maybe we add on Apostle Paul, or on John, the apostle to the martyrs.
Yeah. So there you have it, 10 different types of apostles. And do you want to ask me any questions yet about house church, or you want to wait for another
time? Well, let's go to the next session, because this I'm full on this session of apostle. One thing, I just kind of close on the apostle thing, I think it's a little disruptive for much of the existing organized church, because for thousands of years, the apostolic, this idea of, you know, apostle means sending, you know, or, you know, it means the idea of messenger. What is it? The essence of the apostle, just
the sent one. Yeah.
The sent one. Okay. So I think that's a change in paradigm. And do you get pushback on that?
Well, there's definitely pushback in different parts of the body of Christ. And even today, I don't say, well, I'm an apostle. I'd say I'm an apostolic leader. It's a bit softer, as I said before.
Because
I don't need that.
No.
I tell people, these are not titles.
Right.
These are gifts, they're anointings that God gives. So you don't have to tell anybody who you are, what you are.
Right.
Just go and love Jesus, love people, do use the gift God's given you, and let God get the glory.
Have you felt, and you've observed, and I come from a background where we don't even have never used apostles, so I have, like, naive, joyful things about, you know, he could be ordained as an apostle at the CLI network. What's the danger of that? Have you seen people abuse that?
I have.
Okay, I know, and I think it's an important thing, because we're going to have sort of like, and if to, for someone to be ordained as an apostle through the CLI network, you're going to have to be one who actually has fruit of raising up leaders and house church leaders,
You need to be a father in the Lord and mother in the Lord. You need to have a servant's heart and all those things. Here's the abuse that I've seen.
Okay.
In certain parts of the body of Christ, in certain denominations, certain parts of the world, I have found those who say, I am the apostle, and it's dictatorial leadership. You do what I say, and some have been saying, I'm the apostle. That carries an authority that you don't have your freedom to obey God. You need to do what I say you should do.
So now we go back to the critique of the mainline churches, that the word the.
Yeah.
So
essentially, I am the apostle, at least for that group, he would say. Now, I know the was referring to the whole Bible.
But the idea here is that that word apostle is a very servant leader who stands in the gap, who makes something happen, and not somebody who wants some title Paul is an apostle, no, I'm an apostle.
No. It's not a title or even a position. It's simply a servant call from God.
Okay.
I've said many times, when I meet someone, and I get pushback on this, but I think it's true.
Okay.
When I meet someone and they have apostle on their business card, in most cases they're not.
Really?
Yeah. I think they're trying to be something that they're really not, because that word somehow gives them this sense of authority. And it is my opinion that really, if they have a servant attitude, they don't need that on their business card.
You know, and
I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm careful.
Well, I think that to reflect at CLI, everyone's ordained in the order of a deacon, a servant.
Yes.
And then if they want to be upgraded elder, they can. But they're not ordained at their essence as an apostle. It will always still be a deacon.
Yes.
That's the apostle functions.
Yeah.
Okay, so exactly. No, very good. Okay, yeah. Thank you. This was extremely insightful. We have the kind of Reformed and cross-pollination with, you know, we're Pentecostal and we're loving it. And this was a blessing to us all.
Thank you so much.